A seemingly innocent plant bearing delicate white flowers could change the landscape of the Arctic. That's what biologists worry about when they consider the inroads made by white sweet clover in the past couple of years in Alaska. The plant, blooming now along a roadside near you, could eventually spread down the state's river systems, pushing out native plants and causing degradation of local fish and wildlife. APRN's Ellen Lockyer has more.
It arrived quietly enough. During the early 20th century, white sweet clover was imported to Alaska as fodder for cattle. That plan didn't work out because the plant turned out to be like breakfast cereal, providing empty calories but no real nutrition for Bossy.
White sweet clover, I think they say that it's capable of producing up to 350,000 seeds per plant. And those seeds can remain viable for up to 80 years.
Mike Racy is a specialist with the Cooperative Extension Service in Anchorage. It's his mission to battle invasive weeds.
Here in Anchorage, we have seen a huge explosion of the white sweet clover. You're pretty hard-pressed to drive any roadway in Alaska any longer and not run into any white sweet clover.
The plant is not just sinking its tenacious taproot into south-central Alaska. Volunteer weed pullers are working now to eradicate white sweet clover from the Dalton Highway roadbed to keep it out of the Canute National Wildlife Refuge. A photo of the Stikine River Valley in southeast Alaska shows wetlands clogged with the white-flowered weed called Melilotus alba by researchers.
Plant has no natural enemies. It's not controlled by other controlling factors, and so it's just uber aggressive, and they're just able to like outcompete with our native vegetation.
White sweet clover is a tall, scraggly plant, not to be confused with the friendly, ground-hugging Dutch white clover. Researchers with the USDA Agricultural Research Service in Fairbanks have found that Melilotus alba has spread into the Stikine, Matanuska, and Nenana River floodplains. Why should we worry about that? Because the plant produces large amounts of fixed nitrogen in the soil wherever it grows, making the soil friendly for the invasion of other alien species not accustomed to the Arctic's usual low nitrogen content. The new species push out native plants, while seeds of the invaders hitch rides elsewhere on automobile tires, people's clothes, and animal fur. Racy says the crucial point is where the rivers and the highways cross paths.
The seeds will float down. They'll start to germinate along sandbanks and other areas along those river corridors. And then at that point, they're basically beginning to outcompete some of those pretty specific plant communities that utilize that stream bank.
Troy and Lori Zamzel have even organized a nonprofit called Citizens Against Noxious Weeds Invading the North, or KenWin.
We started to travel around to community councils. We began to get invitations to speak at other organizations and just recognize the need to get ourselves organized so that we could be more effective and be able to carry on the fight.
The Anchorage couple have made eradication of invasive plant species not only their priority, but one for the state.
We go into a local box store and go to get some strawberry starts, and there's a Canada thistle growing in it. And I'm going, wait a minute, we can't have this coming in. So we raised the alarm and stomped our feet up and down and went to the director of the Division of Ag. He said, would like to help you. It's a bad problem, but there's no real law on the books for it.
It's that lack of regulation that drove the Zamzels to push for one. They say the sweet clover explosion has some frightening consequences for rural Alaskans.
What many experts believe is that anywhere that white sweet clover takes over, the moose will leave because it can't sustain them.
It's like giving a human a constant diet of cotton candy.
And where it begins to grow, eventually nothing else does.
The Zamzels have been instrumental in getting a bill passed. HB 330, signed into law in June, creates a position for a state invasive weed honcho to coordinate efforts to eradicate the pests. And that's good news for Mike Racy.
If you can stop these small infestations now, you can probably prevent a whole lot of herbicide use later on, because one way or another, we're going to control some of these species.
The weed warriors say it's going to take outreach and education to make changes. They ask gardeners to be careful to buy locally and to research any new plants' compatibility with Alaska's environment. I'm Ellen Lockyer.